But
Johnny Gambo, you're such a wiggle worm.
Hello and welcome to episode 211 of the Erasable Podcast. I think we are our podcast has as many episodes as there are miles in the John Muir Trail.
Yeah,
I'm. Ask me why I know that. I'm Andy Welfley. I'm on hosting duty tonight. I'm eating chicken soup out of a stormtrooper helmet. I don't know what that means. Cool. Johnny made me put that. Made me say that.
Did you?
And I'm here today. Tim is taking a break. Tim has some other stuff going on, so it's been a while. And Johnny and I thought we would just hop on. So, Johnny, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What's the reference to the stormtrooper helmet?
Oh, nothing. I'm just sitting here, sort of dreaming of ramen. We had a lot of ramen lately, but then I haven't had it in a week. Like,
yeah,
we have these big round white bowls.
Mm.
Yeah,
it seems like the stormtrooper helmet would like. You know, that saltiness of the stormtrooper sweat would be like kind of like shoyu broth. So,
well, it would never get on your shirt. It would just miss.
Yeah.
So that's okay. It would like true. The mess free helmet.
That's true. So, we have kind of a short episode today. We realized it's been a while since we talked about some of the seasonal releases. So, we're going to add back in our tools of the trade since there's just two of us and talk about fresh points and just kind of go through some of the spring releases and some new stuff going on. So yeah. Johnny, tell us about your tools of the trade.
Sure. So I might be a quarter of the way into The Transcendentalists and Their World by Robert Gross, which, our last guest mentioned. So I think it's cool that I got to talk to someone who knows him because, his previous book was the Minutemen and Their World. It was like, according to Frankie, this like earth shaking history book. Hmm. So it's one of those books that's very heavy and has very small print, and they're still talking about like trade and Concord and all this stuff that doesn't interest me at all. But I know it's important to the tale later. So it's been slow going. So I've just been watching a lot of TV. Including a show that I hate it called Sister Boniface Mysteries on BritBox, which is a spinoff of...
I was going to say, that sounds like the most British TV show name I've ever heard.
Yeah, so I don't know. Did you watch Father Brown, the one with Mark, whose last name I can't remember?
I didn't watch it, but I'm familiar with it.
So at first it was sort of like silly and kind of just like, this is not good, but also I'm tired and I don't feel like changing the channel, so I'm going to watch it. But so this was like that, but it was silly, and then it got really, really good halfway through the first season. And I think the third is coming out in installments this month on BritBox. Just like the best $6 or $7 you'll spend a month, I always say. Mm-hmm. And we watched Shogun, but we waited until it was finished because I knew we'd binge the crap out of it.
Did you catch it?
Dude,
I haven't watched it. It looks just like beautiful, like the cinematography, but I've not seen it.
Yeah, and the guy who plays the Englishman, just the way he talked and his voice was so funny. He sounded like he was channeling Tom Hardy's character from Taboo, sort of.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with this. So
he's on my list of people I want to read my epitaph. And he's younger than I am, so I'll outlive him, or he'll outlive me. So,
or maybe your autobiography, he can do the audiobook.
And then Johnny said, "Coffee, what's that?"
But
Johnny Gambo, you're such a wiggle worm.
So the weird thing was that they were, you know, all the Japanese was in Japanese. I think there's an English dub. I don't know. I would want to watch it. But all of the Portuguese was in English. And I kept forgetting that. I'm like, wait, why are the Portuguese missionaries speaking English? Oh, they're... I guess they didn't want to have the entire show in subtitles, just 90% of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as violent as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, although yeah, I had heard it was pretty violent.
There were a couple of close-up seppukus, which is, that's a lot. I had to explain to Henry what it was because he heard me talking about it, but I did not let him watch Shogun yet.
That's probably a good idea.
A bit horrified. And but a good lead-in, I also watched The Three-Body Problem, which we both saw recently.
Yep, finished it on the plane on the way to Florida, which I'll talk about.
It was so good.
Yeah. So but, I had read, I just in the last few months, I had read the trilogy, the books it's based on. And there's some things that they just do really well. Like I was like, I don't want to do any spoilers, but I was wondering how they would treat the whole thing with the Sophons, like those computers that kind of fold out from different dimensions. Did you watch the whole three body problem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, in the book, the way that they talk about it is just like in sort of this kind of abstract way. And the way that they describe it, like it's almost like it's almost hard to demonstrate that visually. And yeah, I thought that was really interesting. They did such a good job with that.
Yeah. And Benedict Wong had like a big role. I love Benedict.
Yeah.
Wong.
He's great. So yeah, he's a character. So the book, hopefully I don't give anybody spoilers, but the books span like 400 years. They basically kind of span the time it takes for the aliens to get to Earth. Cause they have to travel at like a certain, like 100th of the speed of light. And, his character kind of spans all of those decades, and they have lots of centuries, and they have lots of reasons why, but yeah, he's really great. The other interesting thing is, John and I were talking about before the show, the kind of four main characters who are scientists or, they're kind of an amalgam. Well, first they split characteristics of the main character of the first book into all four of those people. Like the guy who was the student of the woman who like was a scientist who dies at the beginning. And then that woman who runs that nanofiber factory or plant is the same person. And yeah, it was a really interesting to how they just combined and also kind of like split apart all these characters, and also made them more international. Cause you know, everybody was Chinese in the book.
Yeah. What was Benedict Wong in? It was a big Netflix show a few years ago.
He was in the movie Shang-Chi, that Marvel movie.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, and he was in the Doctor Strange movies too.
Oh, he was Genghis Khan.
Oh, okay.
I remember. But the first thing we saw him in was Spy Game. He had that really small role in the beginning as Tran. Don't take the shot. He had like that line, and that's it.
So good at playing just like a kind of a hard-bitten detective.
Yeah, he was really good. And somebody said something about where you're from. He was like, I'm from Manchester.
Yeah.
I like that line.
Yeah.
But,
if anybody here is really into just like hard-ish science fiction, I think this is really good. And it's what I liked about the books a lot was that they're, you know, it's very China-centric. It's written by just one of the most prolific Chinese sci-fi authors. And it just like covers a lot of things in just a different way than I think we usually see in Western science fiction. So,
and do you know if they re-upped it yet? The one I finished it a couple weeks ago and they hadn't re-upped it yet.
I don't know if they, I know exactly what they're going to cover in having read the books, what they're going to cover in the second season if they do. And I really hope that they do because they are far from done telling that story.
I'm debating whether I'll read the books before that, but I mean, that's going to be a while if they haven't updated.
I think you'll have time because man, things move slow.
Yeah. Sometimes if things are very visual, I don't mind watching the movie first, but yeah. I'm really impatient for the storyline.
Somebody told me that so there was originally a miniseries on in China that was very close to the book. And somebody said that, Hulu has, or no, Disney. I don't know the name of the streaming apps anymore. There's too many of them. somewhere we can watch the Chinese miniseries.
Oh, interesting.
So I'd be interested to kind of watch that and compare.
Ooh,
yeah. You'll if you liked kind of that first season, I think the rest of the story, I think you would really be into.
Yeah, I think I'm an undercover sci-fi fan.
I think so. I mean, you're. Get out. They converted really like you to Star Wars, right?
That was Henry. Henry can convert anyone to anything.
We'll get you on Star Trek soon.
Well, Star Wars was really big when I was little, but I kind of always hated Star Trek. I had an uncle I didn't like who watched it. So that's going to be a harder nut to crack.
This conversation is at an end. I'm just kidding.
So I want to hear about the next item on your list.
Yeah. So kind of didn't, like, forgot this existed. But last year, our friend Mark Kurlansky, he's not really our friend, but it came out in November, and Mark wrote, you know how he has books about like the social history of cod and salt and paper and so many things. I think he did one about milk. He did
one
about
onions. Yeah, that one was so good.
Yeah, he did one about onions. So I was expecting it just to be called onion, but it's called The Core of an Onion, Peeling the Rarest Common Food. Also, there's a bunch of historical recipes that he includes in there, which is pretty interesting. So just starting it. I just kind of got past the first kind of intro where he just like throws in so many like references to onions and culture, and he like spanning everything from like, you know, Catholic monks who wouldn't eat onions because they were afraid it made you horny, all the way up to like people, you know, using onions to like balance body humors, to, you know, people who would just like, you know, eat an onion like an apple. So
does he quote Shrek?
I've not gotten to that part yet, but I hope so.
That would make me very happy.
A social history would not be complete unless he quotes Shrek.
Oh, because I like onions.
Yeah. So, yes, so far so good. It just feels awesome. Very much like a Mark Kurlansky book. And yeah, I learned a lot about onions. When I was chopping up an onion for dinner the other night, I was like thinking about that. So, yeah, he was talking about like just a lot of the ways, like why onions make you cry and what's happening with those volatile compounds when they sort of like mix in with the water of your, that are just sort of present in your eyes, and kind of why that makes your eyes sting. So just like, you know, if you just cut an onion in half and then kind of like rinse it off really well, that really helps a lot to help you from crying.
Oh, but
yeah.
I gotta do that. I am. Yeah. I'm like a weeper.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not crying. It's the onion, chopping onions. I swear. And then it's my
the world,
the last thing, yeah, started reading a interesting book called The Future by Naomi Campbell. And she wrote a really interesting book a few years ago called The Power, where like the women of the world develop and like a superpower to, you know, shoot bolts of energy at men. And it just kind of like shifts power balances in society and things. And this new one is about three tech billionaires, one of them who runs a large shopping website, one of them who runs a computer company, and one of them who runs a social network, are all kind of like in league to protect themselves for the end of the world, basically like the coming social apocalypse. And it's kind of about that. There's like a survivalist YouTuber who kind of falls into this plot. And yeah, it's good, and it doesn't feel super off from where reality might go. So it's definitely
Splash
like
Flash is going.
Yeah. She fictionalizes a lot of it, but there's definitely some like archetypes that feel very, very apt. So definitely recommend that book. I'm trying to think if there's any other TV. I've watched the first two episodes of Star Trek Discovery, the latest season, which was very good, but I'm very far behind. I was traveling for the like last week and the week before, and I'm definitely super behind on all my stuff. So
it's been a weird spring.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, we have a primary tomorrow, so everything here seems like a weird time tunnel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, your primaries aren't till, I forgot they're not till kind of later.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of national attention for the because it's like a rich white guy who's going to buy a Senate seat, or someone who's going to earn it, versus our Republican former governor who's probably going to win.
Oh boy,
yeah, fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot to put one thing on here. White Zombie. Do you remember before Rob Zombie was Rob Zombie and he was a member of White Zombie?
No.
So I guess this was late '80s and up to the mid '90s. I forgot that they existed, and I guess got a, you know, bug in my crawl to listen to it recently, and it's so good.
Hmm.
There's a lot less of like, yeah, like actual like words. And they've got their like a series of drummers like everybody did in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really surprisingly delightful. If you're, you know, sitting around on Spotify, like, I don't know what to listen to. White Zombie, of course.
To look that up. I'm not a huge Rob Zombie fan, but if it's a departure, maybe I would like that more.
Yeah, by the end you could see where it was going.
Yeah,
but it was a lot more metalish and less like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Nice. Well, should we jump into fresh points?
Sure. Yeah, so, Minor Light. I made a bunch of Star Wars books and it was fun. They look
so good. Did you sell them all?
No, I have there are a couple left, and there are a couple that I held back for friends that I have forgotten to give away. So they're sitting here, and I'm having a real storage problem with books right now. So we'll talk.
Yeah.
And my only other fresh point is I'm always talking about how much I like the Levenger True Rider. Mm-hmm. And it turned 25 this year. So they had some serious quality control problems at first. I think I've owned four or five of the original one, which was green. And one, the section melted, like literally chemically melted. A lot of that was user error. I don't want to talk about it. And all the other ones I have, like they won't fit a converter correctly. Hmm. But for anniversary edition, they took exactly the same green and then put this decorative silver cap on it and just put it together. And they call it the Origins Anniversary True Rider. And like, it's really pretty. I mean, sometimes they'll put out ones like, dude, no, what? Fire that person. But this one was really good. They've done a couple metal capped pens recently that look really nice. But yeah. I think this is the best one. So if you're looking for one, you know, don't pay full price because they're marked up and they know that they're always on sale.
Yeah.
So in I think it wasn't too expensive.
In the show notes, Johnny put Hubba Hubba in parentheses behind it. And for some reason, my brain read that as Hubba Bubba, like the bubble gum. And so I was immediately in my head, I was like, oh, it's a bright bubble gum pink.
No, it's freaky. It's like, you know, 25 years later, I don't know how they got like whoever to remake it. Unless they, I don't know if they had like a giant crate of it somewhere. Like, hey, look what we found.
Hey, let's sell these as new.
Yeah, they look amazing. And you know, they've had the same Schmidt nibs the whole time. So the writing experience is what it always was.
Yeah,
and if you're not a cap poster, it's nice. If you post your cap, like, it's going to be way off balance.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, those are all the ones I have.
Okay. So the week that Johnny and Tim recorded that episode with Carol, which, by the way, was really good. Loved hearing her talk. I was going to Orlando and to go in Florida to go to a conference. So I and also my sister lives in Orlando and her family. So I went to this conference that was at a hotel on the like Disney Park campus, and it was pretty bananas. That's a huge hotel. It's 1,500 rooms. There's like 7-8 restaurants in this hotel. And there's like all this various, you know, there's buses and there's a ferry and there's all this way to like get to the various Disney parks, which is just a whole other experience. I went into the parks a little bit. I haven't been there since like the 80s, since I was like 6 years old. So it's been a long time. And it was, I'm not a Disney adult, but I definitely like appreciated just like the care and the curation of like your experience that you have there. Like, I'm working on a new theory, Johnny, that like people who are really, really into Disney really want, like they really like it because it kind of offers almost like a dense urban experience without like the chaos and uncertainty that comes with urban experiences. Like,
that's true. All of the public transit.
Yeah, because really good public transit. There's lots of like food vendors, and especially when you go to Epcot, there's all these different like styles of food kind of like close together, and there's like all sorts of people and things are really dense and close together. And I think that people just, especially people who are live in the suburbs and maybe don't have access to that on a regular basis. Like, this is a way to, and of course the difference is, you know, you pay for it. Like at a Disney is expensive. It's like usually not less, unless you have like a pass or whatever. It's not usually not less than $100 to get into the park for a day. So, yeah, it's still working on that one, but it was really fun. I had a good time. Saw my sister, hung out with my nieces. But one of the things that just really struck me. So, you know, I have a press penny collection. Like anytime I see like a thing you can put a penny and two quarters into and crank, you can do it. Well, at Disney, they are everywhere. So many press penny machines. And the thing that they do is, so first of all, they all take credit cards. So
are you serious?
You don't have to put in your own quarters and your own penny. You can put in dollar bills or you can put in a credit card. And a press penny, like at a machine where you put in your penny, it's usually cost 51 cents. They cost a dollar. Well, it's, you know, they provide the penny. So I guess it costs 99 cents each. But the thing where they got me was each of the machines offered like three or four or a certain amount, like certain number of the variants. And instead of going to pick your variant, you can just be like, oh yeah, give me all four for $3. And so that's what I did. Every time I encountered one, I got all of the pennies. And my favorite was in Epcot, that Disney park, there's like a whole thing where you go to different countries of the world and they have like maybe a ride that's connected to it and some shops and some food and just like, yeah. So I was in China and they had a press penny machine that for $10, you could get 12 pennies, each one of the like the Zodiac characters. And then there was some like Disney tie into the Zodiac. So altogether, I come back home and I'm like, I'm going to count these. And I got 91 press pennies when I was in Disney.
That's awesome.
So I probably spent like, I bet I spent a good $80 specific just on press pennies. So I don't know what I'm going to do about all these. I think I'm just going to kind of pick out the ones that I like and just kind of see if my mom and my sisters want any. So so many press pennies.
Well, I mean, if there's an emergency, you could put them all together and buy like half a soda.
Well, I can't because once you squish them together.
Like, come on, help me out, please. I really want the soda.
I mean, it was once legal tender. Maybe I could just melt it down and use the copper for something.
Yeah, evidently. Is it still true that pennies actually cost 3 cents to make because of all the copper?
I think so. And there's like a congressional mandate to make them.
yay.
Most pennies are mostly, gosh, what is it? It's not magnesium. It's
zinc.
Zinc. That's it. Yeah. It's mostly zinc and just like, you know, a tiny bit of it is copper. So makes them more squishable that way. But so had a fun time. Was not really super paying attention to sort of like the stationary experience of Disney. Like there were a lot of, there weren't a lot of like wooden commemorative pencils. What I was seeing more of were those like, you know, those pens that like go, this kind of crappy stick pens that go up and then they're kind of like bent in the shape of like mouse ears or something like that. The barrel is. There were a bunch of those. So
they always break and they're sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not very well balanced. So, yeah, I was also kind of looking a little bit for, because I recall from before, and this was, again, decades and decades ago, but commemorative pens where you, like, turn it over and there's, like, a little thing in water that slides up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the main one was, like, you know, ladies with clothes falling off doing that. But I recall there being a monorail one where you turn it and the monorail goes back and forth.
Oh, cool.
I really wanted one of those, but they don't have those anymore. So did not get that.
I had some ones that were ships that I got at Fort McHenry, I think.
Oh, cool.
That was really cool. People used to do really neat stuff with those.
Yeah.
They need to come back. Neat.
Yeah. So while I was in Florida, it was over an Independent Bookstore Day. So I was looking on my handy dandy little blog post from Blackwing to see where their Independent Bookstore Day pencils would be. And so I went to the one that was in Orlando, the one bookstore, and yeah, found a box and picked it up. And have you seen these pencils, Johnny?
I saw them and I forgot what they look like. Are they blue?
They're really nice. They're blue. They kind of have the same, if not the same, a very complementary design to the ones last year where it was kind of arabesque, I think is the term. It was red and kind of gold. And so this one was blue, but a very similar pattern. So it seems like they're getting away from that kind of like very geometrical design for the first two. And so last year and then this year, which coincidentally, last year I was also in Florida when those came out. So
oh,
I picked some up in Miami. I'm not like that big of a Florida goer, but just so happened to like go to Florida in May for the last 2 years. So yeah, pick some of those up, and yeah, they're really nice. Firm graphite. Just pretty nice looking. Yeah.
Awesome.
So that is, I haven't really been paying super close attention to a lot of the like limited edition Black Wings lately, except for the ones we'll talk about and these independent bookstore day ones. But like, I'm still down to pick up some bookstore pencils.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I once again forgot they came out.
Yeah.
I'm such a homebody lately.
Yeah. Oh, go into the group and people are trading them. So.
Oh, rabbit hole. I love a rabbit hole.
All right, should we talk about some of these spring releases?
Sure.
Yeah.
You want to jump into Blackwing first, since we're already talking about Blackwing?
Yeah. Yeah, I got those right in front of me. This is the volume 710, which is interesting San Francisco tie-in. This is the Jerry Garcia pencil. And it is the 710 is named after 710 Ashbury Street, which is... it marked the heart of the Enlightenment, an expression that pulsed through San Francisco in the 1960s. So definitely it's in the heart of the Haight-Ashbury, which is, you know, kind of the famous hippie part of town. Like Rolling Stones live there, and Grateful Dead live there, and all sorts of people. So I think, yeah, 710 Ashbury was where the Grateful Dead lived. So it's a cool house, a little plaque in front of it. But Jerry Garcia was also an artist. I don't know if you remember, Johnny, from the 90s. There were a bunch of, I think they're still going, there's a bunch of neckties, Jerry Garcia neckties.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I had a bunch of them. I
didn't have one.
I went to a Catholic school where we wore neckties, and I was obsessed. So I think I still have like 3 or 4 Jerry Garcia neckties. They were, in the 90s, they were like, $35, which was just extremely expensive for,
yeah,
I mean, for anybody, but especially for like a high schooler.
Yeah, I had a lot of like vintage ties and, you know, like chess club tie and stuff like that. I was not a cool kid.
Did you have some like keyboard ties like all the other band people?
No, I had one with basses on it.
Oh, of course you did. I think it's on that one. Somewhere I have a tie that has the 4 Star Trek captains on it, Kirk and Picard and Sisko and Janeway. I was definitely a cool kid too.
That's awesome.
I also embarrassingly had I had those Jerry Garcia ties, and I also had a Rush Limbaugh tie.
No.
And we not because I liked Rush Limbaugh
anymore,
but they looked so cool. His wife, one of his wives, was an artist, and she designed Rush Limbaugh ties, and I was too young to really like get why we didn't like Rush Limbaugh, so I just thought they were cool looking. So I did buy at some point somewhere, I still have a Rush Limbaugh tie, and I'm just like, oh geez, it's, as the kids say, cringe.
We used to visit Cape Girardeau, Missouri, where he was from.
Oh,
and
you went to Missouri. Lived in Illinois?
Yeah, it was like an hour away. It was a cool little river town. And they had a picture of him, or a painting of him, on the town side of the flood wall, like way down where you wouldn't see it. Like I had to, like one day I was just walking around, I'm like, oh yeah, Rush Limbaugh. I wondered if, you know, they put it down there on purpose, if he made somebody mad. Maybe they didn't give him money or something.
Maybe it was the vast liberal agenda.
It was a college town.
That's true. So anyhow, so I don't even know where it's going. Neckties. Jerry Garcia neckties. This Blackwing features, I think everybody thought at first it was going to be tie-dye because, you know, Grateful Dead. But it's very colorful, but it's really one of Jerry Garcia's designs on there. So it's still very colorful. It's probably the most kind of rainbowy. One of the most rainbowy kind of colorful ones they have. I don't know, Johnny, do you have these?
I don't know where I put them.
Okay.
I think I opened them, but I'm not sure if I did.
They're, so a few things, like it's a wrap, right? Like this design is a wrap. And I know that it's really hard with many wraps, as is with this one, to get it like a kind of more seamless like wrap on it. And It is, oh gosh, how do I explain this? So that there is a seam that you can see, and the seam is not uniformly positioned with the stamp, with the imprint.
Oh, that's weird.
So I have a few of them where the, like, where it says Blackwing 710 is like right on the seam.
That's unfortunate.
And again, like, I feel so stupid just complaining about that because it's like just a dumb little thing. But this is a $30 box of pencils. So,
well, you're not complaining. You just pointed it out.
Yeah, exactly.
So they, I see they sell replacement erasers, but like they sell green. I wasn't sure if this is a different green.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't actually know. I think this green is kind of like, what's a good way to, it looks like the green of like those more gritty erasers. You know, like the Arrow, like eraser caps that you can get for pens or pencils.
Oh yeah. They kind of look like, the spruce trees in Minecraft. I'm trying to one up you on nerd.
No, that's a great.
It's exactly spruce green.
That's okay. That's a good reference. I'm not familiar with that, but I will go look at it.
rabbit hole.
I was thinking sort of like a very like dentist green, like that tooth polish, that mint tooth polish that they use.
Oh, mine's always white.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, well, that
when I look, I usually
it's a very dental green. Yeah. But yeah, the Minecraft spruce pencil, spruce green.
Yeah, there's the, oh, they're sold out. They did some slate notebooks that are, I'm assuming that's a different painting. Those are like really wild looking. Those look really cool.
Yeah.
Like this.
But these are, this is the soft graphite. So it's a nice dark buttery soft graphite, which, you know, I think none of us like really goes for that pencil all the time, but I think it's always one to appreciate. I think Tim's a soft graphite, like a soft Blackwing fan.
Yeah, I like that one because it reminds me of when they came back out.
Yeah.
But it was the only choice. I'm like, this is something.
Yeah. We're stuck with this. But yeah, it feels nice. But it's okay, so the box, the little like box at the bottom has finish, curves and lines, ferrule black, eraser teal. They're saying this is teal. I guess it's kind of a muted teal. And it's it does, I will say, like the teal that's in the painting that the design is based on, it's a very muted color palette. Like everything's a little bit like more sepia, a little bit more toned down. So it is very, very close to that teal that's in there. So it matches really well. Imprint white and the graphite is soft. So that is the March 2024 Volume 710 Blackwing.
Yeah, I feel like coming so close to the Basquiat one, it sort of invites comparison.
Yeah.
And I don't like it as much.
Yeah. Compared to the Basquiat one?
Yeah. Maybe it's because that one was on top of natural wood, which I liked. Mm-hmm. And they put that extra little bit on the ferrule for the Basquiat one, which was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's also like really cool to like Basquiat. Like pretend that you're super woke and stuff these days. So
I mean, just like Beyonce and Jay-Z, right? Like,
I want to like get a shirt. Like, I knew who he was 10 years ago, or 20 years ago.
I like Basquiat before he was cool. Before
Moleskin did it.
Yeah. And these Blackwings, I will say that the bright colors and the kind of abstract designs really, really go well with the Field Notes release that. Johnny, you should talk about.
Sure, absolutely. This one was called a Flora. So they're sort of abstract covers by an artist. What's her name? Emmy Brown, I think. There are three designs. So you just get one of each, so they don't have to make collectors lose their minds. But I don't know how to describe them. They're abstract and colorful, but also when they said Flora, and I saw, I'm like, oh yeah, Flora. But
Yeah, I was expecting something that was actually more floral, like a little less abstract and floral. But you know, this is, I think the design is nice. Yeah,
yeah. They, I mean, I haven't been on the Field Notes group since these came out, so I have no idea how they're being received.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's not like the best one I've done in the last 5 years, but they're cool. I don't think they're a miss.
How do you feel about the cover?
I like the cover. And I like the red staples, but the paper inside stinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's something new, and I mean, I can't complain that a pocket notebook isn't fountain pen friendly, but it was really, really bad.
Yeah, I actually did not like the cover.
That
just like flat gloss. I just don't like the feel of that. Like, I guess I like something. I usually respond to the ones that have a little bit more texture to it.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So like if they used
a linen cover on this, I would have been really into that.
Oh, I miss those linen covers.
Yeah.
So for the subscriber extra, they used one of the designs from the cover and made a seed packet and gave you seeds. But I didn't even think of this. They couldn't ship them outside the United States or outside of the continental U.S. Or off. I'm sorry, out of the continent because it's illegal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's like foreign flora and fauna. And fauna, like the Simpsons episode in the bullfrogs in Australia. I got them Chaz Wazzers.
I did like, you know, I do like a mixed pack. So they had one that was lined, one that was blank, and one that was dot grid. And
that was cool.
I do like it when they do that.
You never know what people want, like inside of a book. Yeah. And I guess they can't guess either, but doing one of each is really hard.
Yeah.
It's gonna be even harder at this scale.
Yeah. Just like three smaller runs instead of one bigger run. I also liked, I thought that gray that they used on the inside was really nice. That gray color for the ruling.
Yeah. The paper was like super white.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah. The I'm reading it now. The Domtar Lynx 60-pound white.
Yeah. And whenever they use something new, I'm like, ooh, I want to try this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll use something else on this.
I haven't tried a fountain pen in here. I should do that. I think it's fine for pencil.
Yeah, and some of the ones they put out aren't very great for pencil. They're too smooth.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that a regular one is not my favorite for pencil.
Yeah.
Although, you know, when they switched to 60-pound, it got a little better.
Yeah. You know, when I started using recently, just because I did some trading around and got I'm using a Dentist print.
Ooh.
And I can't remember. Did we talk about Dentist print on this show?
I don't think we talked about the most recent one.
Yeah.
Which I forgot I got.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe you should discuss that when we're done with Flora.
Yeah. I have the bookmark that came with it. That's violently colored and says, thank you. But I don't know where I put the notebooks.
Should we start talking about the Dentist print?
Sure.
Do we have anything we want to talk about with Flora?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you weren't paying attention to Field Notes recently, then you missed a 25% off sale that included subscriptions.
Oh, man.
And
I did miss that.
I was up to renew. It was on my list of things to do that week. And then, dang, I scored a very good deal.
Yeah, you did.
There was something with the most recent Dentist prints that you couldn't order one pack. Is that right?
You ordered them in, like... Because, I mean, Draplin's website is abominable. order in... Crap, I can't remember. I think you could order just one pack, but you order them in... Or no, maybe it was like two or three or six or something like that. Right?
I didn't buy one, but I don't think I bought three.
Yeah. Well, the thing I really like about them... is just like, you know, whenever Draplin does like his own kind of factory floor release, it is always just like a little more extreme or over the top than like Kudol would do. And I really like the progressive distortion that the packs would have. So in each pack, there was one that was very kind of like straight Field Notes, logo, cover, things on the inside. There's one that was like a little twisted and one that was just like super distorted where just like it's unreadable. Like the Draplin Design Company thing on the back and Field Notes and the insides are just unreadable. And it's cool because it's distorted, but it's a foil press or foil stamp. So apparently that was just must have been so hard to do to get the detail on that right.
Hurry up and hand it off to the person next to you. Like, all right, smear this. Step on it.
And the thing, one of the things I love about just like people come up with their own sort of like lingo for this kind of stuff. And in the Field Notes group, they started calling this sneeze. So like some of them have a heavy sneeze, some of them have a medium sneeze, and some of them have no sneeze. And I think that's so accurate because it just looks like somebody just like sneezed all over like wet ink.
Oh, I spotted mine there across the room.
I did a little bit of trading. First, I want to toot my own horn here. So my friend Will, who I did the Dot Grid podcast with, his name is on the cover of the Louisiana state poster. Are you all right? Johnny?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you okay? You
picked up. I dropped something as I was grabbing my deck.
Okay. Glad you're okay. So Will's name is on the cover of the Louisiana state poster because he helped Draplin like what? Figure something out with Louisiana. So his name is real tiny on the front of the state poster. And so he's been looking for a dead print of that state poster for like some time. And they didn't do a deadest, but the deader print, there was one that had his name on it. And so, it also had the Tabasco logo on it, which a lot of people really wanted to hoard. So I did a trade with the Field Nuts to get Will, a Will Fangy dead print. I was pretty pleased with that, but there were a bunch of deadest prints that had had cuts from the Golden Gate Bridge poster. And just a really lovely poster. I have it hanging in my office right now. And I just like the colors that they use. So, I am currently sitting on a bunch of Golden Gate Bridge deadest print notebooks that I just really like. Cool. So I'm using one of the ones that are like the most heavily distorted. It looks ridiculous, but it's really nice.
Yeah, I didn't notice the inside is purple with orange ink.
Oh, yeah.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it is. Heavy-handed, but
oh man,
yeah.
I didn't pay attention to these when they came in.
I haven't been like super energized by like trading and collecting and all that from the stuff, and I kind of got into a little bit with this stuff, so I enjoyed it. That was maybe 2 months ago when it came out.
Yeah, I'll have to go through mine and see if there are any that interest you, because I'm not picky. I just like the colors.
Well, I can tell you if any are sought after on the Field Nuts forums, because I've talked to a lot of people.
I got one of those ones that has like clear icons, like the Sasquatch and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And his dad.
Some music festival back. Ones. Oh, you have one with his dad?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not Jerry Garcia?
Yeah.
Cause
yeah, it was from one of those original stickers he had that said shit yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, send me a picture of him. I would love to see what you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other various releases that we should talk about?
I feel like there were more. Like, oh, there was. There was a journal for men from Baron Fig. Did that ever come out?
Oh, the Huddle Journal. Yeah, I did not pick up one of those.
I also did not. I forgot about it.
Here's the thing about that is I like it reminds me a little bit of those BetterHelp. Internet ads that like are specifically to like for men, and it's just like, oh, get in touch with your feelings, like men can go to therapy too. And like on one hand it kind of rolled my eyes because I'm like, well, of course men can and should, in fact, should go to therapy. But on the other hand, like if you know if that's kind of what you need to do to get more men to go therapy, like good for you. So this Huddle Men's Journal, I was looking at it and I was just reading through, and it's a guided journal, and I don't think it's needs to be specifically for men. But on the other hand, you know, if this is what it kind of takes to get like some men, this kind of football themed journal with all these guided entries and these very masculine colors, if that's what we need to get like more men to like write down their thoughts and feelings, like maybe that's what we should have. So I kind of came around on that. I was kind of rolling my eyes about it a little bit first, but it's good.
Yeah, I didn't look at anything except the color. I liked the green a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm simple-minded, but they did come out with a new pen, which I didn't realize they did. They have a New York City Squire. It's black and it has New York icons, and it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, that's really nice looking.
Okay, I don't usually buy these, but I like this one. It comes with a stand.
Oh, they did. That stand is really nice looking. It's on sale, Johnny.
And my bank account is groaning. I've been a naughty boy lately.
$100 down from 120.
See, the people taught us this when we were first doing the podcast. Like, oh, pencils are so inexpensive. Fountain pens are, you know. I'm like, well, how many fountain pens can you have now whenever someone's like, oh, that pen's $50. I'm like, what? Give me one.
How many fountain pens can you have? It's like the motto of Johnny's life.
And then you'll have a family member who sends you a picture and you're like, you like fountain pens? I had no idea. In 5 minutes, you've ordered one too.
Yeah. So the Huddle journals are nice. Those New York City Squires are nice.
And they were going to do new pens too. I don't know if they ever came out. They were going to be flat sided like the ones.
Yeah. I hope that I mean, it's something I think we're just kind of deducing it. Cause if you go look at that Huddle journal, detail page, there is a pen that they're using, in the kind of the product photos that looks familiar, but different. Would love to see that be a thing.
Yeah. That was a really cool innovation. I really appreciate that. That was like when they did the brass, you're like, hell yeah, this feels good.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, I think that's about it from what I had on my plate. I haven't been doing a whole after the Japan trip. I feel like I don't have any super interesting like stationary stuff happening. Oh, there's this one thing I have to like kind of complain about or show you that I notebook. Okay. Johnny, do you know what IA writer is?
IA? No.
Okay. So there's this app, and I think it was originally just for Mac and iPhone, but I think that there's maybe a Windows version too. It's this very minimalist, very good typography, European, like Swiss company word processing app. You could just like journal in it. It's like a minimalist app.
Oh,
well, okay. They have released a notebook.
What?
And like a paper notebook, and it costs $100.
Why?
sorry, it costs $73, but after tax and shipping, it's literally $100. And it reminds me of those ones. Remind me of the name of the notebooks that were slightly gray, and the lines were white. Do you remember?
Oh, white lines.
White lines. Yeah, it's basically a white lines notebook.
Oh, that was a Swiss company, I think.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if it's some sort of a tie-in. I'll have the link in show notes. Johnny, I just put the link in our thing. It is the most sort of like fussy, minimalist just notebook ever. I'm sure it's very, very nice.
No.
Yeah. $73.
What?
Yeah. So if you are somebody who likes IA Writer or likes just the very minimalist kind of design aesthetic, maybe this will be for you. Maybe you'll like this.
So these are different. So the white lines ones, they actually printed the pages gray, so they repelled ink, and of course pencil sucked on there.
These are watermarked.
So the page would be white, and just there's, I guess they would, the lines would be pressed in if they're watermarked. I wonder if they did it hard enough to feel them.
Interesting.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Not like $100 cool, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that the notebooks are handcrafted. Our bookbinder will deliver them in batches.
What, really?
Yeah, I'm reading the... Oh, Johnny, maybe you have to try one of these. Do you have to buy a $73 notebook now?
I mean, it's a business expense, right? It's
I think so. I think you're right. I think...
You get three shippings free.
You're losing money if you don't buy one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, at the bottom, you can see that you can... The lines are like actually pressed in enough that you'll be able to feel them when you're writing.
Well, is that on each page or is that on the cover?
It looks like each page.
Wow.
But that also, so that works for Japanese writing, but for the Arabic, whatever letters we use, they go below the line a lot. That would be weird.
Yeah. Interesting.
I like this idea though. I mean, I really like a watermark on paper. It makes me feel good. I have it ripped off.
It looks cool. I'm just like, this thing is going to get dirty in a second.
The website looks like Baron Fig website, the way they did the layouts.
No, IA is, they make a very nice, I often use their word processing app if I'm just like writing something. They have a interesting, like basically their version of PowerPoint too, which, you know, you write an outline and it will convert it into slides for you. It's called IA Presenter. I've used that a couple times. Just really nice software. And it was just super interesting to me when they released this notebook, because I feel like it's an interesting evolution of it.
They were for Windows and for Android.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Got everything covered except just regular Linux.
Yeah. Well, nobody except you uses Linux, Johnny.
I don't use Linux. I use Chrome OS these days.
How come there's not
Turbo Chromebook?
There should be like a web interface for this so you can use it on Chrome.
You can use Android apps on a Chromebook.
Oh, you can?
Sometimes they look really stupid.
Oh, okay.
It's possible.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
They're like, whatever. People have a Chromebook. They don't care what things look like. Just put it on there. It's the kids.
Yeah. All right. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
On that note.
Yeah.
It probably has something built into the paper. The joke is on you. It's not IA. It's AI. And it's going to take over.
Well, I mean, they've been...
They can't learn yet.
They've been making IA Writer, which I'm not sure. I think maybe stands for Information Architecture, because that is what I think of when I hear IA. And it is... I mean, it's been... I've been using IA Writer for almost 15 years now, so I know it's like... Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Computers.
Yeah.
It predates Chromebooks and Android.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Should we wrap it up?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Johnny, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at pencilrevolution.com and on social media at pencilution.
Nice. I am at andy.wtf. And this is the Erasable Podcast, and we are at erasable.us. This is episode 211, and that is at erasable.us/211. You can get the recording and show notes and all that stuff there. We have a Facebook group. It is facebook.com/group/erasable, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram and Threads, although I don't think we use Twitter much anymore. Instagram and Threads at Facebook at Erasable Podcast.
Do you like our podcast? Most people like our podcast. But if you don't like our podcast, then we'll turn it off.